We've been trying to help folks get the information they need to make some positive decisions about the Affordable Care Act to get you signed up for insurance. Yeah, we know there's been problems with the computers. But they tell me the phone line is working, that the operators literally are standing by 24-7. So to heck with the computer, you can call the toll-free number at 1-800-318-2596. 1-800-318-2596. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we want to try to get some answers, and maybe you got some positive questions about the Affordable Care Act and getting the coverage that you and your family need. Kathleen Falk is the regional director for the Department of Health and Human Services of the United States of America. She's based out of Chicago, and she joins me live. Ms. Falk, welcome.
Thank you, Amos, and thank you for helping educate folks on this incredible new opportunity to get affordable health care.
Is it fair to say that the mission right now is to go old school? And when I say old school, to heck with worrying about the computer, pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and call 1-800-318-2596, and the operator will literally be there and help you.
You are good, Amos. You are good. Actually, people should try whatever they're most comfortable with, because there are four different ways to obtain this affordable health care. And the call center that you just gave the number of, it is one great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can either just get information, ask questions, or you can actually go so far as to enroll mm-hmm. and sign up over the phone if that's your comfort level. You can also do it through a good old-fashioned paper application.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get online. People, although there are still some challenges with the website that they are working very hard to correct and make seamless, people are getting through on the website, and that's another route to go as well.
One of the frustrations that our listeners have had, that I have had, is not to have the ability to be able to tell the community, if you live in Indianapolis, these are the plans available for you. Here's what is in the plan. Here's what the deductibles are. Here's what the basic coverage pattern is. The same thing that if I was looking at whenever my company gives me what our insurance plan is going to be for next year, I can look and see what plan A, plan B, and plan C is. I can see what's covered, not covered, and then make decisions on the plan and the cost. Is that information available? Is it something that is available where the media like us can walk our community through the types of things that are available?
Yes, and in Indiana, citizens will have, no matter what part of the state they're in, an average of about 34 different health plans to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can make their own personal decisions about what works best for them and their families, looking at all the options and pick one that they prefer. The good news is, you know, that nationally the data is showing that about 6 out of 10 uninsured will be able to and can buy insurance this way for $100 or less a month.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way that those of us in media, those of us that are community elders, that are not the official, what they call, navigators, can at least have the basic information, you know, and be able to share that with the community?
Yes, but there's an important reminder for folks,
right.
And that is many people are eligible for important tax credits
mm-hmm.
and important cost sharing, all of which will reduce their monthly premiums even further than this 6 out of 10 will be able to get it for $100 or less a month figure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why accessing your own application is important, because you put in your financial data of what you have earned, what your income is, and the computer then will tell you whether you are eligible for these other cost-saving measures. So, you know, in fairness to the consumer, you want to know all that. You don't want to know what the sale price is, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's pretty individualized, because it's important that there's accountability for these programs and people are making the income that they say they are.
Erin is on the line at 239-1310, and I think her question does have to deal with cost. Erin, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I'm inquiring about how payment will be for people that will then obtain the insurance. Will the payment be taken from our pre-tax dollars, or is this money that's going to be coming out of our take-home pay?
Wow, that is a great question, Aaron. That's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole world. Kathleen Falk?
Yes, thank you for that good question. If I understand your question correctly, Aaron, if you are eligible for the tax credits that help reduce your monthly premiums, you have two choices of how to get those credits. One, you can get them monthly as your monthly premiums do, or you can receive it at the end of the year in the following spring when you file your annual tax form and get it at that point. And you have a choice of which you would like.
And if you get the tax credit monthly, does Uncle pay a check, or that's less than what that's deducted from the bill that you pay the insurance company?
It'll be deductible from the bill that you pay the insurance company if you do it monthly. And again, if you choose to do it annually at tax collection time, then it is reflected in your tax when you file your taxes.
Okay. That's a great question, Aaron. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We're talking with Kathleen Falk, who is the regional director of the Department of Health and Human Services. I know that Secretary Sebelius said this morning in the hearing that at some point we are going to learn how many people have signed up so far in the different states, including Indiana. And obviously, that would just be for the first couple of weeks, so that's going to be a low number. So if anybody's expecting 200 million people to sign up, that's just totally unrealistic.
Well, you know, the President and Secretary Sebelius have both said that, you know, we have this historic moment where literally tens of millions of Americans can now, for the first time, buy affordable health insurance. And so, you know, the website is part of that, but it's really this fundamental goal that is happening. Just in the first 3 days alone, on October 1st, when this open enrollment period began, there was over 8 million people visiting the website, which just shows you how hungry our nation is for this affordable health care product. Over 700,000 applications have been filed already, and that is only 1 month into this open enrollment period. So there's still 5 months, you know, plenty of time for people to shop, to think about it, to talk to their family members before they make their final decision on what they would like to purchase. The December 15th date is important because for coverage to begin January 1st, you must sign up by December 15th. Mm. But you have 5 months from now to decide whether to shop in this marketplace for your coverage.
Nancy has a question. I believe she has lost her job and can't pay. Nancy, you're on the line with Kathleen Falk of HHS. Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I just wondered, you know, as happens, if you purchase on the private market, if you can't make your payment, you may lose your insurance. What happened in this instance?
That's a great question. So, Kathleen Falk.
Of course, Nancy, my heart goes out to you. I'm
well,
sorry.
I think she was asking hypothetical. So
I hope it doesn't happen to you, Nancy.
So here's the hypothetical. Somebody goes through the exchange, they get the insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and then all of a sudden they lose their job, they can't pay, the private insurance guy is going to say, hey, what's going to happen? What happens to that person?
That's a new factor. That's one of those life happenstances that we hope never happen, but does. And so that's a new factor where you can then go back to your application process and say, you know, my financial situation has changed dramatically, and then you will see what you are eligible for. You know, it may be you're eligible for Medicaid. Mm-hmm. It may be you're eligible for these tax credits or other cost sharing to help reduce the premiums or the copayments. So that is one of those, you know, life-changing, life-altering events that help you recalibrate.
All right, great question, Nancy. I appreciate it. Let me go to Cass. Cass, I think is going to ask, you know, what happens if you make too much to have the insurance? Cass, what's the question?
My question was, Kathleen Sebelius was saying all day today that trying to explain that she is not eligible for the Affordable Care Act. What makes a person like Kathleen Sebelius not eligible for the Affordable Care Act?
Good question. And maybe I should start out saying, for those of the listeners here that already have private health insurance, you do not need to do anything. And that is, you know, about 87% or so of of Indiana folks already have private insurance, and they do not need to do anything. And if you're satisfied with your insurance, you do not need to do anything. If you're over 65 and older and on Medicaid, you do not need to do anything. And I hope that's reassuring to some of our listeners who may be wondering. So the Affordable Care Act, you know, is intended to do two things. One, it's to provide affordable health care now for the first time in our nation's history in one easy-to-reach spot for those tens of millions who do not have health insurance.
So there's not an upper income requirement or disqualification.
No.
So if Warren Buffett didn't like the insurance he gets with Berkshire Hathaway and wants to go through the exchange in Nebraska, he could do that.
Yes, he could.
Yeah.
And one of the many wonderful things about the Affordable Care Act is that it doesn't allow an insurance company to charge Warren Buffett any different than you or me. If you are in the marketplace.
Cass?
He kept saying there was just absolutely no way she could do it. You know, the Republican senators kept telling her, well, she had to do it. She had to do it. She should do it like everybody else. And she kept saying, I can't. I'm not. It's illegal for me to do it.
It may be because she's a cabinet officer as well.
Is that it? Well, they are too, but doesn't Congress have it?
They've got a special plan, and I can't remember when Congressman Carson was in here to ask about that, but that's a great question, Cass. I appreciate it. Let me go to Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's got a question about doctors and facilities that don't take this insurance. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Amos. How you doing? You got the best show in the city.
Thank you.
I was asking, can they refuse it?
Can who?
Are these illegal, but can doctors and stuff now refuse this? That we're fooled up right now. And we have to wait or something like that. Can they refuse it?
That's a great question, Kathleen.
I'm not sure I heard
what I think he's asking, can doctors or providers refuse to treat patients that have insurance through the marketplace?
Well, here's what you get through the marketplace. You get this a variety of health plans that are based by private sector insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have their system of providers, their network providers.
Yeah.
And so you choose that insurance company you want based on cost, based on what physicians and hospitals and clinics are in their provider network. And then those are the ones that you go to.
So when you call the toll-free number, because I think people are a little gun-shy on the computer thing, so we're going to try to help the folks with the toll-free number, and it's 24 hours a day, so don't try to call during the middle of the day. Wait till like 8, 9, 10 o'clock, or those of you that are insomniacs, call at 1 o'clock in the morning, and first of all, they'll be so happy to talk to a human being at 1 o'clock. You probably get better service at 1-800-318-2596, 1-800-318-2596. Kathleen Falk, should they have who their doctor is, the kind of medicines they have, if they're on prescription medicine, the hospital that they prefer, so that they know whether these plans cover that?
Well, again, the good news here is that normally in the old days, you know, you would have to file a long application telling this insurance company that all your medical history,
mm-hmm.
and it was a complicated process. With the Affordable Care Act here in this marketplace, none of that happens. You literally tell them your name and some financial information, and you cannot be charged a different rate based on your medical history. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, you know, companies can no longer deny you coverage based on a pre-existing condition. If you have diabetes or cancer or any one of the many reasons why insurance companies have traditionally denied people coverage, that no longer is allowed. And so it's really, that's why people have been hungry and waiting for this opportunity, because for so many years they just could not get the health care they needed despite ongoing medical problems.
Kathleen Falk, I got a lot of folks that are listening right now. They're already on Medicare. And people, I think some are getting confused because they know this is the fourth quarter of the year, the end of the year, and it's time to reevaluate your plans under the Medicare parts A, B, C, D, F, and G, whatever. If somebody's already got Medicare, they can stand pat. They don't need to do anything.
You said it. They do not need to do anything. They are just fine where they are. If they want to change their provider like they normally can every year at this time, they should feel free to do so. But they do not need to.
Let me go to Norman. He's got a question about insurance coverage. Hi, Norman.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. Good afternoon, Mr. Salt.
Good afternoon.
A question that I have is that, is it true, or is it just going to be in certain specific states that some of the current insurance that employers have for their employees right now might not be effective because it might not have enough coverage that will be effective under the Affordable Care Act? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Great question, Norman. And this has come up in the last 72 hours. Let me ask two different questions. One, insurance that employers offer their employees. Can any of those coverages be dropped by the employer because of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, you know, employers traditionally have chosen whether to provide insurance for their employees. What the Affordable Care Act ought to be doing here to help those who have insurance now through the private market, through their own employer, is that by having these, you know, more people insured in our nation, that the rest of us who already had insurance don't pay for the costly medical care that those uninsured people do when they have to show up at the emergency room on a Friday night because their child has a sinus infection, for example. So it ought to help reduce our overall cost of spending in the health system by having all people insured so they can get this preventive and timely care so they stay healthier and don't end up in more expensive hospital settings.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kathleen Falk. The Affordable Care Act sets standards for all medical insurance, certain things that every plan must cover. And there were some plans that people had as individuals, not through their employer, that they were just buying on their own from Anthem or WellPoint or Aetna or Fly By Night Medical Insurance. And if those plans don't meet the basic standards, then that the plan has to tell the customer, we can't cover you, but. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. And I want to make sure I'm accurate here for our listeners. That there are some provisions that were grandfathered in when the law was passed 3 years ago. But for new plans and for all the plans that you will find on the marketplace, there needs to be this basic minimum of 10 essential health benefits. Everything from preventive care such as pap smears or mammograms or cholesterol screenings or cancer screenings or flu shots. So there's a set of basic benefits that must be included.
All right. Let me go to Dorothy right quick. Dorothy, you'll be our last caller because we only had a limited amount of time with Kathleen Falk. Hi, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. They really got me. I have insurance with with Evercare and United Healthcare. So what they say, they're getting ready to drop Evercare. So I have to find another insurance.
Wait a minute. You're on regular Medicare, correct?
Correct.
Regular Medicare cannot drop you.
Evercare from United Healthcare did.
United Healthcare, was that Medicare Part C, D, E?
Yes, all of it.
That doesn't even sound. Was that extra on top of your Medicare, Dorothy?
I guess that's what it was. See, I didn't understand all of that.
Have you called 1-800-MEDICARE?
You know I've been to Europe, Mexico, Hawaii. I can never get to the Social Security office.
No, not the Social Security office.
I talked to the Medicare people, and they take me from this person to that person to this person to that person. They don't answer the questions.
All right. I tell you what I want to do. Kathleen Falk. Are you still with Kathleen?
Yep.
We have a policy on this program. If we get a question that stumps us, what we do is get that person's name and phone number and email it to our guest and have somebody on the guest staff follow up with her. Is that cool with
you? Happy to do so, Dorothy. Happy to do so.
All right, so Dorothy, hold on and off the air, give Chris your name and a number where we can be reached, where you can be reached during the day. And we're going to send that information to Kathleen Falk's staff and one of her helpful folks will follow up with you in a day or so and try to figure this out, okay?
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Now, Kathleen Falk, we know you got a stat. We know as the regional director you've got 8,000 states pulling at you. Do you have anybody on your staff any somewhere that could spend a full hour and a half with our listeners. You've heard the kinds of questions that people have here in the 11th largest city in the country. They can kind of answer a number of these questions, and let's get everybody moving in a right direction.
Yeah, and Amos, thank you for doing this. And let me give you my contact information for listeners who still have questions.
Okay.
I really appreciate, Amos, what you're trying to do here. And my number is 312-353-5160.
All right.
Would you like an email address, too?
Yeah, give us the email address.
Sure. It's Kathleen.Falk, F-A-L-K, at HHS.gov.
We know, like I said, we know how busy you are as a regional director of one of the major cabinet departments of this country. But if you can find an assistant, if you can find a smart intern that knows all the answers that we can have, because you've heard the kind of questions that people have.
I have, and they've got lots of good questions. There's time to answer them. I thank you for putting your program on now and hope we can do it again.
We definitely can, and we want to be respectful of your time. Oh, we got to remind people, the deadline has been pushed back. Well, so
It's still the same deadline, which is March 31st.
March 31st.
5 months from now.
So. 5 months from now, so people don't have to start freaking out because it's only October 30th.
Nope.
Kathleen Falk, thanks very much for being with us. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's open lines the rest of the way out.